When you think of the history in the Old Testament, it's pretty remarkable that God revealed himself by his choice. In Genesis, you get the full effect. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is hovering over the face, you know, over the waters. And the Son is the Word that is spoken by the Father. Because we are reminded in the Gospel of John that Jesus is the Word made flesh. So there in Genesis chapter 1, you have Father, you have Son, you have Holy Spirit. Not three gods, but one. In Deuteronomy, in the days of Moses, it was penned, you know, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." And the people would say, "Amen." And throughout the Old Testament, the prophets spoke about God. They had the law, and the first commandment was, "You shall have no other gods." Pretty simple, isn't it? And we learn, as the catechism taught us, you know, and you probably had to memorize it backwards and forwards in English and in German, Latin, and, you know. But here it is, you know, what does it mean? You should fear, love, and trust in God. What's the rest of it? Above all things. Yeah, you should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Now, we know that the law does not lift us up, it condemns. And when God says, "You shall have no other gods," humanity says, "Oops." Because we have idols in our heart. There are things we just love. And there's things we overlove. You know? Like when we're competing in sports and we want to win. And some player, you know, does something, and next thing you know, we're throwing fists. And that's just the pastors on the court. We love stuff. We love things. We love ideas. We love thoughts and philosophies and all kinds of stuff. And our heart and our mind start to put these things first. And when we do that, we compromise, not God, God can't be compromised, but we compromise our obedience, we compromise, we hedge on our love for God, because God does not come first. And in the history of the people of God in the Old Testament, boy, they did that quite often. And when they did, after a period of time, and they wouldn't repent, remember what happened? They got whooped. You know, you had the Babylonian captivity. 40 years, they were whooped. Before that, when they misbehaved in the wilderness following Moses, they were 40 years in the wilderness. God says, "You don't do this." And so when we hear this first commandment, we think we're in trouble because we love stuff. Some of the stuff is food. Some of the stuff is activities. We put things before God. When I was in Nebraska, for example, we had some young teenagers in the congregation. And when it was deer season, or duck season, or goose season, guess where I would not see them on Sunday morning? Something came first before God. Also in Nebraska, sometimes, if Nebraska played a late game, people were too tired to be in church on Sunday. They loved their football. Does Tennessee love football? I think so. Yeah, we love these things. And like the people of Israel, God did not come first. But what do you think Easter's about? Easter follows Good Friday, and Good Friday is about the fact that we don't put God first. And there on the cross, you have Jesus Christ putting us first because he's dying in our place. He's taken our sin upon himself. the Bible says it this way. He who knew no sin, that means he never did anything wrong, which is so far outside my box, you know. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. And there on the cross, he stretched out his arms willingly. He could have come off the cross. He could have whipped him with his little pinky. His is straight. Mine's kind of bent. Do you understand the power of God in Christ is present? And he's giving himself. He's laying his life down for the sheep. He's putting us first. And then on Easter, he rose. He is alive. So that you and I could have a victory over that trifecta stuff. Sin, death, what's the last one? The devil. Yeah. He rose that you and I would have life. The first commandment is you shall have no other gods. And the connection is that in Easter, Jesus reminds us that he is God for you. Not against you. Not to squish you like a bug. But he is God for you. Not because of you. He's going to be God whether we believe or not. But he is God for you. With a mission that you have for him. A purpose for his very creation. He is God so that you may live. His power is real. His authority is real. His victory is real. What he has done is real. He is God for you, that you may believe. Now you think about it, how is that different than all the fakes? The world religions that humanity likes to say, well, they're all equal. They're not all equal. Some of them look pretty glorious. Some of them have a lot of pizzazz and style. Wow. You know? But they're no better than the $500 Monopoly money. They might look bigger. The name sounds bigger. 500. You know? But they're fake. They have no strength. They have no victory. They have no power. They have no authority. They only have an image of what we think is important. But that image is shallow, even to nothing. He has called us into this new life, into a genuine treasure, the kingdom of God. He has called us into this new life, forgiven, restored, and he guarantees us an eternal victory. Even though we die, we live. It's better than the trophies of this world. It's better than the treasures and the gold and the silver of this world. But we start believing, and this will date me like an old movie used to say, and it was Marilyn Monroe, right? Diamonds are the girl's best friend. And it's nothing compared to Jesus. It's nothing compared to God. It's nothing compared to the Spirit who has been placed in you. It is nothing compared to the gift of the body and blood, the bread and the wine and the Lord's Supper. It is nothing compared to the water and the word of your baptism. It is nothing compared to the proclamation of absolution. For all of those who have diamonds, they still die. For all those who have tons of gold, they still die. For all of those who have palaces and kingdoms and authority and fame and fortune, they still die. And the question is, what does it buy them then? The answer is nothing. Because in the realm of the authority of God, they're fake. But we like the fake stuff. That's our problem. We like the fake stuff. You know, think about all the food that is marketed. How many recipes and different stuff has been, well, it tastes like chicken. Yeah, I was told frog legs taste like chicken. I was told pheasant tastes like chicken. I was told rattlesnake tastes like chicken. Yeah. It doesn't taste like chicken. But the world has us believing in the fakes. And we can laugh here because now it's funny. But when we get out into the world and we start, in a sense, smelling the aroma of the wealth that is offered and the power that influences and the name that gives prestige, we become suckers in a heartbeat. First commandment and Easter. You shall have no other gods. Easter, I am your God, and I'm for you. I'm for your life, your salvation. I'm for your eternity. I'm forever. And he wants you to be with him. In Jesus' name.